I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are welcoming for the first time to our studios group from Northfield, Minnesota, where they are all college professors. In fact, there were four people in the band. Today there's five. And yep, another college professor, right? and welcome, guys.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah.
And they are playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge, along with two other bands, and Golden Valley and Sleeping Jesus. And we're going to have Sleeping Jesus in the studio a little bit later. And that show starts at 9 o'clock tonight. Well, welcome. I'm going to introduce you all. Daniel Grohl is on guitar here. We have Jason Decker also on guitar, right? And Mike Furstein on drums, Andy Flory on bass, and newest member Lewis Epstein on keys. And we're going to find out about when Lewis joined the band and all of that good stuff. But first, you guys want to start with a song? What do you want to start with?
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to do a new song. It's called Better Sometimes Not to Know.
Not to know what you see, what you hear on your own. Well, a kick in the mouth could be better than a cut that goes deep to the bone. And the world is no more than it seems. Best to stick to the vision, and it's worse to wonder, well, what's it mean? And you keep on floating so gently down the stream. Oh, better sometimes not to know what you see or what you hear on your own. Well, a kick in the mouth could be better than a cut that goes deep to the bone. And the world is no more than it seems. Best in me leaving on the run, and twice to wonder, well, what's it mean? Keep the questions buried in a void that seems. And the last thing I'll ever do is kiss you sweet.
The Counterfactuals, live from Studio A, and a new one, so I'm assuming not even on the album, Daniel?
Not on the record, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming because you're all professors, summer might be a more prolific time for you musically. Is that fair to assume?
You know, it typically is. It depends. People go away a lot during the summer, so, but our drummer, one reason that we've got new materials, because our drummer is going on sabbatical next year.
Oh.
So we actually released this current record on June 10th. And then, like, a week later, we went into the studio to record basic tracks for the next record because he's going away.
Oh,
so we actually
okay.
have a bunch of new material, and we're playing some of it tonight.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. So tell me how you guys got started. Daniel, you and Jason kind of were the first members of the band. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was sort of an version of the Counterfactuals in Chicago, which is where I came from. But then I moved to, I'm being laughed at for using the term the Counterfactuals in any case. The first version, it was in Northfield with Jason and I. We were a duo. And I played the drums with my feet and played acoustic guitar, and Jason played electric guitar. Believe it or not, we had no pedals. If your listeners could see, the floor is like covered in wires and cords and pedals. But we started with like nothing. We plugged like right into our amps, and then it's grown from there.
Okay. And I love the story of how the two of you, you know, when you first met, you kind of went on a trip to Wisconsin, driving trip, and you were playing music in the car, and you suddenly realized, hey, we kind of have the same taste in music. Totally. Do you remember what some of the artists were that you were playing that you had common ground on?
Jason, do you remember? Certainly Spoon. Spoon, Sloan, great. Jason grew up in Maine. I'm from Canada. So people in Canada know Sloan. Not everyone in the U.S.
knows
Sloan.
Happy Canada Day to
you,
by the way.
Thank you very much. Thanks. But Jason knows Sloan because he grew up in Maine. So I think we probably bonded most over Sloan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so you guys kind of bonded. And then how did the rest of the band come together?
Let's see. So Mike was next. Mike started at St. Olaf the year after I started at Carleton. But we actually met when we were on the academic job market together. We met at like the big hiring conference. We were up for the same job. And we met at a table where you talk to your potential employer and try to impress them. And neither of us got that job. But while we were waiting to talk to the people who might hire us, we started talking to each other. And it's like, oh, Mike's a saxophone player. He's a jazz-trained saxophone player. And I have an undergraduate degree in jazz performance on the drums. And then we were both doing philosophy. So we're like, oh, we're the same person. Let's talk more.
And now you're playing guitar and he's playing drums.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
and can you use that overhead mic there, Mike? So what was learning the drums, which is, you know, not necessarily, I don't know how that relates to saxophone, but what was that like for you? Had you done it at all before? Yeah.
Well, in high school, I was good enough to win a Battle of the Bands playing the Summer of 69.
Oh, on drums. Well,
that was sort of my first brush with drums.
Okay. Is that how you got in this band? You gave them that fact and they said, you're in.
That was it, yeah.
It was an audition.
Yeah, that's right.
Only Brian Adams.
Brian Adams has a deep place in Dan's heart.
Yeah, I said, I have one question for you. Can you play the Summer of 69? He was like, yes, I can.
So I sort of taped a metronome to my head for a few years and, clawed my way to something, whatever it is now, from the Summer of 69. Yeah,
but they do sometimes let you still play sax and clarinet, and it looks like
they allow me out of my cage into they allow me to touch my jazz instrument. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, every now and then we have a few tunes that incorporate horns, not too many, but.
Well, and then I'm just looking at your most recent album, which is self-titled, and it looks like you did a lot of stuff on there, a bunch of different instruments.
Yep. Yeah, I play a little bit of keyboard as well. So we all kind of pitch in various capacities.
Okay. It's true. I'd heard Mike's jazz stuff on saxophone, and it's fantastic. And you could just tell listening to that like he's got great time. He's just got a fabulous sense. He totally understands what's going on. So though he had not really played the drums, I was like, he'll get it. You know, he's just got to learn to move his limbs at the right time. But, like, conceptually, it was kind of all there. It was pretty obvious. It wouldn't be too difficult.
And then you got Andy on bass.
Yeah. So we had another bass player who's a friend of ours who lives in Northfield. But then she didn't want to be in the band anymore. She's more of a jazz cat. So Andy moved to Northfield, and he's a guitar player. And it was at the end of the Defeat of Jesse James Day parade at the ice cream party with our kids, like running around like mad, and where I met Andy.
I need to make it there for that one.
Oh,
time.
It's great.
I've heard about that. I have friends that live in
party.
Northfield, and the controversy over whether this celebrates Jesse James or not.
Yeah, that's right. It's colloquially called Jesse James Days, but that doesn't quite capture what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Defeat of Jesse James.
Yeah.
So anyway, I asked Andy. I told Andy about the band, and then a couple months later, when we needed a bass player, he came on. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so Lewis is the newest member, and so he's covering the synths here. So what did you do before? Did you have keyboards before then regularly, or?
On both records, there's keyboards on the first and the second, but with the second, there's more. Jason, our lead guitar player, has a burgeoning interest in synthesizers. So there's more and more synth on what we do, which is great. But then you have this problem. If you're going to play it live, what are you going to do? So when we have our full setup, there's even a, we've got two keyboards set up now. We usually have four. Jason plays one, and Lewis plays three. So we had this problem of like we love those sounds. So Lewis came to Northfield. This is your second year, right? Yep. And teaches at St. Olaf in music, and we were independently friends. I'd heard you play piano again. I don't know. It's just like with Mike too. It's the same thing. It's like just the right combination of personality, and like you obviously know what's going on when you hear music. So come mm-hmm. play with us. Yeah.
Well, and this must be fairly recent because I don't think Lewis was on the latest album even.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's not. So we recorded that a while back, but as we were getting ready to release the record and play release shows and go on tour, we needed someone to cover the keys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we heard the story of how you all got assembled. So let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What are you going to want to do next?
We're going to do a song called You Turn the Tables So Well. It's the fifth track on the record, and that's one that actually Mike has a beautiful arrangement of saxophone and clarinet, but because he's behind the drums, Lewis will do some version of it on keys, yeah? All right.
My mind didn't swim from the deep, so the trouble that I reaped, the trouble that I reaped, go with the same old advice. Your words are nothing more than noise. Look for the hardest to see. Yeah, you look, but you never rest on me. You turn the table so well. You tear apart your vitals hell. Nothing like the full of your time. Yeah, you turn the tables so well. Tables to where
Counterfactuals live from Studio A, and a tune that's included on their most recent album, the self-titled one. Lovely. Tell me, okay, now we're going to have to talk to Andy because we got some switching out going here. So who does the songwriting in the band, Andy?
Well, Dan does nearly all of it. He brings it to us, and we end up arranging it mostly together, and we arrange a lot while we're recording. There's sort of an iterative process between the songwriting and the recording, but it's really Dan's baby, the songwriting duties for the band.
And I hear the name Counterfactuals has something to do with philosophy, as I believe 3/5 of the band are philosophy professors. Is that right?
That's right.
Do I have the ratio correct?
Yep, that's exactly right.
What is counterfactual?
Jason, you want to handle this one? Come on. You're the philosopher of language, and you want to try to give this a shot? You really don't? Okay, all right. So it's a kind of sentence, called a sentence, yeah, that makes a claim about what would have been had things been different.
Mm.
So
So had we not become college professors, we might have been rock stars.
Well, you say we would have been.
We would have been rock stars.
Sure, that's right. That would be an example of a false counterfactual. but a counterfactual nonetheless. That's right. Exactly.
Although, you know, listening to your music, I think that you've done pretty well for people who have full-time jobs doing something else. I think you do okay on the music.
We do. Yeah, no, we do. We've been super thrilled with our chance to play and the fact that people listen to us, and to be able to go on a 3-night tour is really exciting for us, and just to have people interested is a big, big thrill.
How do you, like during the school year, are you able to do very much? Do you still get together, practice?
We do. Yeah, it comes and goes. And one of the nice things about being in a band where everyone has the same job and everyone has families is everyone gets what everyone else is going through. So we totally understand if it's a busy time for someone or they can't. You know, there's a thing that happens in the cities every year that we'd like to, like their big vitamin whatever new band thing, and they're one of their concerts always coincides with like the annual music conference that these guys go to, and it's like, that's cool, you know, we get that, that's just the way it goes. We don't apply for that. It comes and goes. When we have time, we do it. We're lucky to be at institutions that support us in what we do. They're really happy to have us be playing music, and it ties in very tightly with the stuff that Andy actually works on, because he's a historian of rock, and he does a lot of scholarship on not only rock history, but rock and roll practice. So he teaches that stuff, and he teaches students about recording. And so the band is kind of extensive with your actual professional life.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's great. It works out. So you don't get sick of music after talking about it and working with students with it all day.
No.
You get sick of me.
I do.
I'm just imagining, like, the conversations in the van are just the best between the philosophers and the music people. And the
I'm very thankful that Lewis is in the band, because when you're the only non-philosopher in the band, things can go astray pretty quickly.
So did you lobby to get a non-philosopher? And another person, I don't remember which college you work for.
We've got these two are the oldies, drummer and Lewis are the oldies.
It used to be
we don't even call him Mike, we just call him Drummer.
Drummer. Hey, Drummer.
Now, having another musicologist is wonderful. Lewis gets my jokes.
They can talk about hypermeter together.
Yeah. I made a joke about fixed dough in the hall, and he laughed. He was the only one that laughed.
You're going to have to explain that to me after the session. Actually, Chris Harwood, who's doing the engineering right now, probably is laughing right now about that, because he's also a musicologist. Well, wonderful. So it sounds like, you know, you're realistic about, you know, you're not really going to, you can't pursue this 100% maybe as much as you'd like, just because of life realities.
Yeah, that's right.
But it seems like you kind of make it a priority as you can and have done some really nice work with
it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do. We take it seriously. I mean, we're all musicians. And so when we get together, we're efficient and we kind of know where we want to go, and we make use of our time when we have it so we can get stuff done.
And you put out your first album a few years ago, right?
Yeah, 2013-14.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this one is your second one.
Yep.
And how was making this one different than the previous one?
It's a lot different. We're better across every dimension. We're better at our instruments because we started off not great. I mentioned earlier that I play drums, and Andy's actually a guitar player. I mean, Mike hadn't really played drums. So the first record was a lot of just working out how to play our parts. And that was reflected in part in the recording too. So there's more there was more post-recording making recordings work, if that makes sense.
You should also back up a little bit and explain that we like to do everything ourselves.
Yeah, we do. Our recording is totally DIY. We record in Northfield. This last record was recorded almost entirely at Carleton College. Andy and Jason have a lot of recording know-how. So they listen to music and they talk about like hertz, like, oh, I'm picking up something and I'm going to get it wrong, and like the 400 range or whatever. That's one way in which they listen to music, and a lot of technical expertise. So we do it all ourselves. And we're getting better at that. So we're figuring out how to capture the sounds. We're getting access to better equipment, which makes a big difference. So the whole thing is more efficient and just a better vision of what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's more sounds. One result is that there's more sounds on this second record. There's mm-hmm. more varied and different sounds. And Jason and I, in particular, like recordings where things happen and you go, what was that? So that shows up. And then we've got other personalities in the band who say maybe we don't need the 50th track on this, maybe we can mute that one. So
well, and you said you've already started on another one.
Yeah.
And so are you a prolific songwriter? Did you have a lot saved up?
Yeah, I would think the pace at which we work means that we're always a 3 to 6 months behind where I am in terms of songwriting. Because I can do that by myself. I can do that at home with an acoustic guitar. So I'll have lots and lots of stuff. But getting to work it up with the band, that just takes time. So, yeah, we finished recording this one, you know, like last fall, late fall. And then it takes a while to get it pressed and all that kind of stuff. And that meant by the time June 10th rolled around, we have like, you know, 11 or 12 songs ready to go for another one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're going to record that, and then he's going to go on his merry way.
Yeah,
go on his merry way.
Then we'll figure it out from there. I don't know what we're going to do.
What are you going to do on your sabbatical, Mike? Oh, you got to get up close to that.
I'm going to France.
Lucky
you. Yeah, it's a tough life.
Wonderful. So what are your plans for the band while he's gone?
Well, yeah, replace him. Yeah, exactly. We've already got a guy.
How about Tour France?
In fact, one of your former students came up to me after the show the other night and was like, you know, I play drums when Mike's away. He didn't put it quite like that. If he's listening, I should be fair. He said, while Mike is away, if you need someone to drum for you. So we'll work on the recording because we've got the drums down so we can layer stuff on top. We have another little side project. I guess that really feels like we're a band now because there's a side project. There's like a little EP that two of us are working on, so we'll do that too. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where things are a year from now.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's hear one more. What do you guys want to wrap up with?
We're going to wrap up with the first track on our first record, a tune called Running Dry.
Nobody knows.
when this life is enough to tell. Of an ocean with weeds falling down to play.
Counterfactuals live from Studio A, and I think you said that was one from your first album, right?
Correct, yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming in, and you said that you're going to be doing a little bit of touring, like three strings of three-night dates or something?
Just three nights. We were in Madison last night, Duluth tonight, and Winona tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's like your big tour for the summer.
That's our big tour, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's great, though. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us. This is a real thrill for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, they're coming to, or they're going to be playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge with Golden Valley and Sleeping Jesus, who's going to be coming in about an hour from now. And that show starts at 9 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood, Quentin Stilley, and Sam Quackenbush. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.